I'm just trying to PTSD look like a normal person. About this
clap situation.
You're gonna have like editing nightmares, clapping nightmares. You're like, cut the breath, cut the air, cut the breath. Why are you breathing? And Kurt's like, what's wrong? You're like, it was an editing nightmare. She's so picky. I'm so scared of her.
Ellen is so mean.
She's so mean. Just ask her daughter. Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Nache.
Nick Nache? Who is that?
Hi, Tony Award winner Daisy Egan.
Hi, Ellen Marie Marsh. The third,
no,
how are you?
No superlative. What's that called when someone, it's not a superlative, it's a...
Yeah, an adjective.
No, when someone's like Tony Award winner.
Qualifier?
Is it a qualifier? I have no qualifier.
Broadway legend. Podcaster extraordinaire.
Broadway legend in her own mind. How are you, Daisy? Tell me everything.
Oh, you know, I was just saying to Kurt this morning that as soon as I get over this cold, Monty's going to have another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I think once you have a kid, it's just once they start going to school, that's it. You just have a cold for the rest of time.
I'll never forget, Lola was like in kindergarten and we would go in the gym to drop them off. And it was just a cacophony of coughing. It was like, I was like, what is happening? Does anyone have a lozenge?
Could you imagine being a person who's like, I want to teach kindergarten. Like, I want to be around that all the time.
They are absolute heroes. They need to be paid $1 billion.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to get into defunding the police. How are you?
I'm great. Honestly, we're back with the most unconventional way to find love. Obviously, we're talking about Tinder.
You look so peachy and pretty.
I do. I just put on some blush. Honestly, I'm sick of looking like a slob.
You have nothing on your eye?
I'm just trying to look like a normal person.
No. You have a full beat on.
Is this full beat? This is like a 5-minute makeup prep.
Yeah, that's for me. That's a full
beat. Daisy, are you in drag? No, I just put on mascara. Oh, okay. You're naturally adorable.
Yeah.
Wait, I want to tell the listeners a story really quickly before we jump in. When we were at the shore this summer, these like young kids, like dudes, came up to Daisy and all they said was, are you famous? And our whole group was like, yep, she's famous. Mm-hmm. And I posted a reel. I'll post it on Grab Bag once I get the rights to use the social media. And we don't know exactly who we thought they thought you were. We were guessing it was that soccer player.
Megan Rapinoe, yeah.
That's what we were guessing. Yeah. But whatever it is, those kids have a picture of Daisy on the boardwalk thinking that she's someone famous.
I love the idea of them like getting to the cafeteria on the first day of school and being like, check it out, look who we got a picture with, and their friends being like, who is that?
And then one little gay kid was like, oh my god, that's the original Martha from the Secret Garden on Broadway.
Mary Lennox, not Martha.
Oh, sorry, you were Martha the second time. Well, we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah. Well, we need to dive headfirst into this episode because there is so much to cover. We're only on episode 2 and I already need to be medicated. I guess, most of all, I didn't remember that this show should have been called the Barnett's Love Show, which is also blind, because I guess I don't remember how unbalanced it was.
Yeah, it's very unbalanced, even to the point where there's like, we get introduced basically to 2 new couples in this episode.
Who get engaged.
It's like, and meet these people, now they're engaged. And it's just, yeah, it's a lot of head whipping.
Well, from the last episode, we left off with adorable Cameron and Lauren about to see each other for the first time. This is actually the first time any couple sees each other on the series. It's a lot of firsts. When was the first time you met your future husband after falling in love with them behind a frosted wall?
Never.
How about you?
When was that?
I think the first time was like 2002 or 2003.
Oh.
I can't, it's up somewhere around there. But they're both nervous, and Cameron says,
I hope that, you know, her expectations aren't let down. I don't think they will be.
I love Cameron. I love his confidence, but also, is he saying he has a big dick?
Yeah, probably.
I think so.
I was actually thinking that when they were hugging. I was like, I wonder, like, if she can just feel his Woody, you know?
I like that you called it Woody. Mm-hmm. Daisy, there's 3 things in this world that I love. You, obviously. First class travel, which I've never experienced, but I feel like I would love it. And repeat small businesses to our Grab Bag family.
That's so crazy because those are the 3 things that I also love most in the world. Myself, first class travel, and luxury bath products.
Luxury Bath Products is my brand, and Hope's Rose and Hope's Rose Apothecary is back. As I've said before, I have personal experience with this company. I have many products from Hope's Rose, who is also a down bitch from I Think Not, and participated in one of our merch boxes. These products are luxurious bath, body, and hair products. And the other thing that I love, they're made simply. The list of ingredients is like 3 or 4 things. It's not like a whole laundry list of stuff in there.
Most of you may have seen that Ellen made me put on 75 facial products the other night, and my skin is very sensitive. This morning, I actually do look like Quasimodo, but I wouldn't look like Quasimodo if I had used products from Hope's Apothecary, because her products are great for people with sensitive skin.
And the reason that you're not gonna look like Quasimodo is because everything that they use is high quality, natural ingredients, and most of them are organic. She doesn't use any fragrance oils. She uses essential oils. So to your point, Daisy, but Hope's Rose products are perfect for people with sensitive skin and sensitive emotions. You fall into both of those categories.
But it doesn't have to be just skincare products. If you like taking luxurious baths, if you like body butters, she's got it all.
And I absolutely love her backstory. Be sure and go to her website and look at the About Me section and find out this whole story, how this small business got started. And not only are their products amazing, she's also giving us a discount code, everyone.
That's right. If you use the code GRABBAG, you get 10% off. Visit her on Instagram at Hopes_Rose and use code GRABBAG for 10% off.
Here's the thing. 10% off already reasonably priced amazing products. That's a lot of percents off. So use code GRABBAG for an extra 10% off. Support this small business and get amazing, luxurious, silky smooth products for your bed, bath, and beyond. Do you see what I did there?
I do, but that company's bankrupt. But Hope's Rose isn't.
I don't know. Is he right? Is she going to like him? We're going to find out, because the doors open and that first moment is one of my favorite parts of the entire series because everyone has a 3-act play on their face.
Yeah. It's incredibly exciting. And it's also like really like you feel the nervousness for them, you know, of like, dear God, I hope they think I'm attractive. Just all of it.
Of course. Yeah. My butthole is so tight every time. Are they going to like each other? But they see each other and they have a huge smile on their face.
It's so sweet.
They hug, they kiss. There's very different hugs.
Yes.
There's hugs when people like scooch their booties away. They are like heart to heart, heart to part.
Yeah.
They are they are basically laying on top of each other while standing up.
They're vertically laying on top of each other. And then she tells us, I mean, it sounds like she did not know that he was white. It sounds like she legitimately did not know that he was white from the way she's talking.
Yeah, she's like, oh, and you're white.
Okay.
But okay.
She says at one point, like, let me look at you. And she says, you literally look like a prince, like Prince Charming. It is so sweet. And there's lots and lots of kissing.
Mm-hmm. They're a gorgeous couple.
They really are.
She is stunning. I think I actually forgot how beautiful she really is.
Me too.
And then he gets down on his knee and he puts a ring on it. Do they pay for the ring? Did we ever find out?
You know, in The Bachelor, it's like, what's his face comes and shows them rings and they get to pick. I don't know. We should try to find that out.
I mean, Netflix can afford it. And they kiss. They kiss like a really good kiss. Like, what is better than a good kiss? But in that same breath, what is worse than a bad kiss?
Yeah.
Do you remember your worst kiss?
I've had a lot of bad ones, but yeah, my ex-girlfriend was a terrible kisser. Terrible.
Are you saying that because like you're looking back and you just don't like her?
No. She was a terrible kisser, and we actually did meet behind a wall. Like, we met on social media and talked for a few weeks, and like we were super into each other, and then we literally met at the top of the Empire State Building, and I was so excited, and like she was so dapper, and then she kissed me and I was like, oh no,
Daisy.
But I just like let it keep going and going. It was the kind of kiss where you literally have to pull your head away to get them to stop. Like, she wouldn't close her mouth. It was awful.
Oh God, there is nothing worse than a bad kiss.
How about you?
I absolutely know who my worst kiss was. He was a senior when I was a freshman in college, and he did the toilet bowl.
Ew. Ew.
Just around in a circle, 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 in a circle. I was like, what are we, is it, I was in Boston. I was like, maybe East Coast kissing is different than West Coast kissing. And he was so cute. He was so gorgeous. And he was just the worst kisser. And he will always be the worst kisser in my mind.
I hope he learned.
But Cameron and Lauren are having really, really great kisses.
Yeah. And she even says that she was worried that her lips would be too big for him. And she's like, but he is a great kisser.
It's so important. And you know, it's funny because I obviously haven't watched this season since the pandemic times, but usually they like hug and they kiss and then they go sit down. These two were like embracing and talking and hugging and holding. I was like, oh man, I fucking forgot how much I loved you guys. Like, it just makes me love them more.
I know. And because it was the first couple that we see too, you're like, oh, maybe this works.
Yeah, totally. Now, listen, I am a feminist. I am independent. I can do it myself. I want to do it myself.
Sure.
But he says something that makes me turn into like a 1920s shrinking violet. And I was like, who am I? He says, I'm going to take care of you.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, a woman can say that to a man. It doesn't matter. But I was like, I know. That is so heartwarming. Like, I almost could cry. Like, I'm going to take care of you. And spoiler alert, he does. They're still together.
Yeah.
But isn't that like the sweetest thing?
That's so sweet. I just went and looked at their Instagram too. And they just, you know, they're now social influencers, of course. But like, they do look genuinely in love still.
I just was like, that's such a simple sentiment. And that's all we want. It's not like I'm going to take care of you. Like, I'm going to pay your bills. And like,
yeah, no.
I literally turned into like, oh, you don't say so. It was so cute. And then Lauren says the elephant in the room. She's like, we're going to face some trials being in an interracial relationship.
Yeah, I thought she was really brave to do that, especially on a brand new reality show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, my friends might have something to say, but like, I can still be concerned for like the rights of Black people and love who I love. It was great.
Yeah, it was very beautiful.
All right.
Do you want to do the podcast, Daisy?
No.
Okay.
So then we go over to the men's quarters, and Carlton lets us know that he has always dated a supermodel. He's always dated a beauty queen, but now he's ready to fall in love with someone's heart.
And we get some idle chit chat in all of the quarters, and they're all falling in love and talking about how much they're falling in love. And I'm like, it's all fun and games until he poops in the bathroom for 30 minutes, forgets to pay the electric bill, and doesn't buy you anything you like on your birthday. But you kids have fun.
Yeah, you have a great time. Yeah, Amber says in her confessional, it's a crazy kind of magic, but it works. I'm like, you haven't even, what are you talking? Like, the guy that you're into still has three people on the top of his list. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he has thrice times of girlfriends that he had before he walked onto this lot in LA.
Just slow down.
So now we meet a couple we've never seen before, and that's Giannina and Damien. Giannina is 25 years old. She's originally from Venezuela, and Damien is a 27-year-old, and he's a general manager. Again, just general.
We don't know.
Just a manager. He just walks around telling people things.
And she's a business owner.
Yeah.
So maybe he could general manage her business. That would be nice.
Maybe Giannina works with Miriam from season five. Like, maybe they have a thing.
She tells us in the quarters that she's obsessed with Damien, and I was like, ooh?
Yeah.
And then we literally just go meet him.
They're on their fifth date. They say that on the episode, and she's really happy to see him, and she says she couldn't stop thinking about him. I was like, funny, we haven't thought about him at all.
Ever once in our lives.
She says she has butterflies in her stomach whenever she thinks of Damien. Now, just out of curiosity, do you know scientifically what butterflies are?
Oh, I just learned this.
Am I waiting? Like, are you,
is
am I waiting?
Blood or something?
No, it's actually common sense leaving your body.
You're an asshole.
That's what it is. Science. I'm a scientist.
I forgot.
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
They have a real deep conversation about where and how they are sitting.
Right.
He is literally sitting on the carpet, and she is literally so close to the wall.
Oh, yeah.
This is your fifth date?
Yeah. And yikes. Giannina tells us she's silly and Damien thinks she's funny and says she's silly. And I'm living in the future now and I'm going to spoil it and say she is actually neither funny nor silly.
Nor silly.
She is not a silly goose.
No, no. She is, I would say, the opposite of a silly goose. She's like a serious...
She's an ornery...
Crane.
Cranes are, yeah. Or like a...
Emu.
Seagull.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like a picky, pecky seagull.
A picky, pecky seagull.
So that's a spoiler. So
get ready. Yeah, I mean, this is, again, this is like everybody showing their absolute best self in the pod and then the gloves come off. So now we move on to Carlton and Diamond. You can tell that a proposal is about to happen. They're all dressed up. He gets down on one knee and proposes and she collapses onto the couch and like folds up and cries and eventually says yes. And he's going on and on about how he doesn't have to hide anything with her and he can be himself. And he says, I have been left so many times. And I remember when I watched this the first time through, I had very mixed feelings about him not revealing his sexuality. Like, I was like, you know what? It's his secret. He's allowed. But this time around, I am pissed.
Yeah. So let's talk about that, because he basically trauma dumps on her during the proposal. And he's like dancing around and makes a bunch of promises that he obviously can't and won't keep.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, sir, are we trauma dumping on our engagement day? Let's leave that for Mexico, shall we? Let's all have a couple of frosty beverages in our system before we talk about our trauma.
I also just feel like if somebody tells me, like, I have been left so many times, I'm going to be like, okay, that's an orange flag.
Yeah.
You know?
Wait, but before we talk about the sexuality, he talks about himself in the third person. He'll be like, this is what Carlton wants. Do you know who the most famous person who speaks in the third person is?
No.
Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ugh.
Stay on point, Donald. Stay on point. No sidetracks, Donald. Nice and easy.
Probably nobody has been more out there than Donald Trump.
Nobody's ever taken more incoming than Donald Trump.
Nobody knows politicians better than Donald Trump.
Nobody respects women more than Donald Trump.
Nobody would be tougher on ISIS than Donald Trump.
Nobody has greater respect for intelligence than Donald Trump.
Who knows more about the word apprentice than Donald Trump?
Who knows Pennsylvania better than Donald Trump?
Nobody's in the history of this country has ever known so much about infrastructure as Donald Trump.
You wouldn't even be hearing about the word immigration if it wasn't for Donald Trump. Trump was able to get him to give something. I don't know what the hell it was, but it doesn't matter.
If Putin likes Donald Trump, guess what, folks? That's called an asset, not a liability.
18 angry Democrats that hate President Trump. They hate him with a passion.
Nobody's been tougher on Russia than Donald Trump.
Nobody has done more for Israel than Donald Trump.
Nobody more pro-Second Amendment than Donald Trump.
Nobody has treated the farmers better than Donald Trump.
They'll have a 15-minute segment, Trump, Trump, Trump this, Trump that, Trump that.
Names that you interview and say, oh, Trump, Trump, Trump.
Could be Trump. Yeah, yeah. Trump, Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Trump. China has total respect for Donald Trump and for Donald Trump's very, very large brain.
They go Trump, 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 Trump.
A Broadway person / TV person who used to do that was Lea Michele.
Oh, God, really?
She was like, we were all out somewhere. I'm not her friend. She was just there. And she was like, oh, my God, I love that dress. That is such a Lea Michele dress. That is a Lea Michele dress. I was like, can you stop saying your name? It's a very strange thing. I'm sure there's some kind of psychology
behind
it.
And not only that, but she is crying. I mean, she is crying. And his response is, don't cry. I got you. I'll never break your heart.
Yeah.
Never once does he say, like, hey, why are you crying? What's coming up? What's going on? It's just he's hopping and skipping around the room going woo-hoo. And she's crying. And he's talking about himself in the third person. It does not bode well.
It doesn't at all. So let's talk about what he then says, which is what you just mentioned. He basically says he's not sure when to reveal to Diamond his sexuality. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I would have thought for sure that in all this time, this would have come up. And like, I don't want to speak about the queer experience, but like, it's definitely a part of who you are. And keeping that from someone seems like a betrayal. You know, he says he's been hurt in the past by people who don't understand his choices, which I absolutely understand. But like, isn't that, it's a part of who you are. What do you think?
I completely agree. You know, your sexuality is not the be all end all of who you are, but like, it's a really important thing to disclose. I have a lot of women coming to me now, like through Dear Daisy, saying like, I've been married for this long, I have a great marriage, but I'm realizing now that I'm bisexual, I don't want to act on it. Should I tell my husband? And I'm like, if you're safe, like if he's a safe place, then yes, you should, because it's a part of who you are. Mm-hmm. You know, you're straight. It doesn't mean you're going out and fucking all these men. So you being bi doesn't change how you're going to be faithful or whatever, but it really is a part of who you are. And I feel like, especially with something like this, where people have very strong feelings, whether or not we agree with those feelings. That's why I feel so angry about it. I'm like, I feel like he's trapping her.
Yeah. Also, I believe, and I know everyone has a different take, I believe that lying by omission is still a lie. And also, let's say she's not okay with this. Right. Okay? It's her choice. It's her life. Let's say she's not okay with it. You're just prolonging a very complicated situation.
And making it harder.
Hopefully, she'll say, your sexual identity is part of who you are. I love you no matter what. But listen, everyone is entitled to their opinions and how they want to move through life. But I'm like, wait.
I know.
You proposed actual marriage without revealing this. And I understand trauma makes us do crazy things. I am exhausted from my trauma. I am sleepy. But it's still part of who you are.
Yeah.
That was such a fucking red flag. Yeah. That red flag, it might as well be a fucking bedspread.
Yeah. He says he's struggling with when to reveal because he's not sure how she'll handle it. And it's like, well, then you're not ready to get married. You're not ready to propose if that's where you are.
It's just going to get harder from here. Yeah. I mean, you know, you've been married. You're in a partnership. Yeah. This shit is hard. Love is a feeling, but love is also a practice. Mm-hmm. You got to work that shit and find to that shit. I was like, red flag, just throwing it on the field. Yeah. So anyway,
it's incredibly disrespectful.
Daisy, have you met her?
Who?
Have you met her?
Who?
The podcast.
What podcast?
The podcast, Have You Met Her? Are you new to the earth?
Yes.
Have You Met Her is a fellow podcaster, and this podcast is a history lesson full of amazing women. Because for a long time, the contributions of women have not been celebrated, mostly ever. From my research, it's not been ever.
Well, to be fair, women are a relatively new concept in general.
That is fair. So we all want you to join our friend Paige, who's not a historian. She just loves women and finds inspiration in their amazing stories. And she's going to dive into the stories of women throughout history. We're talking women with powerful voices,
women in the arts,
indigenous women,
women athletes,
and women in pride. Every week, every episode is going to be dedicated to a woman you may not know about, but you definitely should. When do you think our week is, Daisy?
Honestly, whenever you're ready.
Have You Met Her goes all the way back into history to cover the earliest known named author in world history, who, by the way, was a woman, to modern day stories like the women in Alabama who are a part of the G's Bend Quilting Collective. And there's inspiration to be found in every single story.
So please follow Have You Met Her podcast on your favorite platform and follow her on Instagram at Have You Met Her podcast.
There's over 70 episodes, so binge away.
Please support our fellow podcaster, our fellow creator, and download Have You Met Her today. Enjoy.
So now, again, we meet this couple. We met Kelly in the last episode. She's 33. She's a fitness instructor or something. She's very self-conscious about her body, which, she's gorgeous. Like, she looks like a little gymnast. She's adorable. She's on a date with Kenny, who we've never fucking seen ever before in our lives.
Don't know who this person is.
He's 27 and in sales. They're bonding over childhood books. What was your favorite childhood book? What was your favorite childhood book? Oh my God, we have the same favorite childhood book, which I don't know about you, Ellen, but I feel like sharing the same childhood book is basically all you really need.
I was like, get the priest or officiant here this minute.
Right. Right.
But also, you can't trust your favorite childhood book, because my favorite childhood book was The Giving Tree. I know. And like, I thought this was a story and a tale of unconditional, selfless love, and it is absolutely not.
Yeah.
It is a fucking cautionary tale of people pleasers with no boundaries.
Yeah.
That fucking tree was a doormat.
I've always hated that book. It made me incredibly
uncomfortable. Did even when you were
little? Yes, it made me incredibly uncomfortable. I didn't know why. I mean, to be honest, I also didn't like Winnie the Pooh, and I didn't like Mr. Rogers.
I fucking love Mr.
Rogers. I mean, now I love Mr. Rogers, but back then, like, I don't know, there was something about it that seemed, it was like too saccharine.
He was, but that was just him.
Now I love it, you know, but back then.
Do you feel like a dick for hating Mr. Rogers?
Totally, totally.
Wow, you are a fucking dick.
Yeah, I'm the worst.
I'm telling everyone.
Basically a sociopath.
Did everyone know that Daisy hates Mr. Rogers? I'm going to cancel you in 5 seconds.
All right. I'll go on Fox News. But then somebody gave us that book, The Giving Tree, you know, when we had Monty, and I was like, ugh, here we go. So I read it to him. He was too little to really understand it. And I ended up in a fetal position, weeping. I mean, convulsing. I was crying so hard from that book. I felt so awful for that poor tree who gave everything she had. And that guy at the end, he like almost learns his lesson, but then he doesn't. And it's just...
No, he's like, also, I'm going to sit on your fucking stump. That guy was living his fucking life with a house and a boat and all the money from her apples. And the tree is like, sup, I'm just a stump. Like that fucking self-centered, materialistic fucking kid, no regard for the consequences of the tree.
I know.
But also the tree couldn't set its fucking boundaries and gave and gave and gave until it was a fucking stump. So all to say, you can't trust your childhood favorite book, because then you wake up one day and realize your whole life is a lie.
Well, also something tells me that Shel Silverstein was like, I'm going to write a book about toxic codependency. And everybody misinterpreted it. And he was like, oops. And then he has that terrifying picture on the back of the book.
Oh, that picture. I took the sleeve off of like where the sidewalk ends. I had to take the sleeve off because he gave me nightmares.
My favorite childhood book, I will have you know, still holds up, and it is beautiful and lovely, and it is a gorgeous tale of being kind and generous.
What is it?
It's called Mr. Rabbit and the Lovely Present, and it was illustrated by Maurice Sendak like before he started doing, you know, his line drawing stuff. Oh my God. It's this little girl who lives with her mother, and she's out trying to find presents for her because it's her birthday, and she meets this rabbit, and he's like, oh, okay, well, what is she like? And she ends up making her mother this beautiful fruit basket, and it's just so sweet and lovely.
Well, you've always been emotionally mature, Daisy.
Yeah,
we get it, okay? Welcome to our podcast where we unpack all of your childhood memories and show how they were super fucked up. I'm Ellen Marsh, and that's Daisy Egan. Anyway, they connect on the childhood book, and then Kelly is like, I love it when guys cry. I was like,
I know. Okay. I kind of get where you're trying to go, but you might want to rephrase that. I think what you mean to say is like, I love a vulnerable man.
I love it when guys cry. So now we're in the women's quarters, and Amber is talking, and she's like, it's Barnett or bust. And Jessica hears this, and Jessica was also feeling really good about Barnett. What about Barnett is making all of these women lose their fucking sense?
I do not understand it.
He has 3 women gagging for him, hanging on his every word. He's basically a dumb dude Goldilocks.
Yes.
Like, they're the 3 fucking bears. This one's too big. This one's too small. What does this guy have but an very abnormally low hairline?
You know what he looks like? Do you remember those little peg dolls from like the 70s?
You are so right. Yeah. Yes.
Just like a cylinder or whatever that is, like with a dome on top.
Please post a side-by-side on the Patreon page.
I will.
So he's first with LC, and she's feeling really confident. Like, there's something about him that fills these women with confidence.
What it is that he keeps telling them, like, basically, I'm gonna propose to you. Like, he's, I mean, look. Yeah. In all fairness, he did say to Stacey, like, if you were the last woman on Earth and I was the last man on Earth, I would totally marry you. But she took that to mean I'm going to marry you. He said something to Amber about proposing. Mm-hmm. And then with LC, he starts asking her, what kind of ring do you want when I propose? Like, of course they think they're getting proposed to.
I don't get it. Listen, I know the bar is low, but at this point, we're like down to the Earth's crust here.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's just getting lower and lower. Now, listen, I don't think diamonds are forever. I don't think people need to subscribe to those like traditions, but he's like, would you mind a non-diamond ring? And I was like, I mean, that's a fair conversation, but like, what are we talking, like a gum wrapper?
Like, like a mood ring from the beach shop? Like,
what are we talking here? I don't know.
He also tells us that Elsie is the female version of him, and I'm just meeting him, obviously. I'm just meeting these people. They spend more time with each other, but like, and maybe it's just the editing, but to me, Amber seems like the female version of Elsie.
Of Barnett.
Amber seems like the female version of Barnett.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. But remember, Amber scares him.
Amber scares the hell out of him.
I mean, is it because she was in the army? I don't know what it is about her that scares him so much. I don't know what it is. All I know is I want off this Barnett merry-go-round. I didn't get a ticket. I just wanted somewhere quiet to eat a snow cone, and now I'm stuck on it and I can't get off because now we're with Jessica, who I guess is Barnett's number one right now.
Oh my God, I keep calling her Stacy. I keep writing Stacy.
That tracks. It really does.
She's going to keep going.
So we see this little scene with Diamond and Jessica, and I am Diamond in this moment because basically she says to Jessica, like, what do you see in this guy?
Diamond has Barnett's number, and these women need to take a breath and listen to Diamond.
And Diamond is like, I don't know why you're trying to, like, upgrade Mark. Mark is so sweet.
Yeah.
He's so nice. You know, Jessica just told Mark, like, we're going to walk out of this together, but now she's crying. Like, Jessica, like, get it the fuck together.
Yeah. She says they're going to walk out together, and then she doesn't understand how Barnett could have said that to her if he didn't mean it. I mean, I do think that Barnett is being incredibly manipulative by telling these three women in different ways that he's going to marry them, because I think it does make them rule out other mm-hmm. guys, you know?
Which is what we see Jessica doing, because mm-hmm. Jessica is, like, dancing around the issue, and now she's with Mark. And she's like, people are going to get hurt. I was like, yeah, babe, that's what life is.
Yeah.
Life is full of getting hurt. Go to my website, www.igethurteveryday.com. Like,
yeah.
You can just see all the ways that people hurt my feeling. I fucking asked the guy at ShopRite if he was mad at me the other day. He's like, ma'am, can I scan your groceries? Like, you know?
Yeah, like leaving your house, you are subjecting yourself to the possibility that you are going to get hurt. But I felt like Mark's response was aggressive. Like, not to her, but he goes back to the quarters and he's like, you're not gonna fuck with me. You're not gonna play around with me. You're not gonna fuck with me. And I was like, okay, like, maybe she's not the smartest cookie, but like, she's just trying to be honest that she's like worried and feeling a little more scared than she was. And for him to have this response, I was like, whoa, okay.
Right. He's basically just saying, like, yesterday this was a go. We were picking out dinnerware. Like, we were deciding on our china. Do people still do china? I don't know. Honestly, I heard that whole conversation, but the only thing I could focus on was Carlton's silky shirt, and the only way to describe it is like a nod to like 90s Versace.
Ugh.
With that very distinctive ornate gold and black, mm-hmm. I was like, you're just trying to tell us all you're gay.
I know. It's
fine.
Right.
I actually think Carlton has a bunch of religious trauma. I think he's probably gay and he's just trying to pray the gay away, which that's his life. My main point is that this shirt is very distracting and I'm not even listening to what Mark is saying. But actually, what is Mark saying? What is he saying? What are you saying,
like,
Mark?
That's like, calm down. Take a deep breath. She's literally just telling you, like, I'm a little scared and this is harder than I thought it was gonna be. That's all.
Yeah. So now we're on day 7 and Diamond is getting ready to meet Carlton. She's got her Grand Tetons out. Mm-hmm. She looks gorgeous. Mm-hmm. She's in this tight ass baby pink silk dress. Mm-hmm. She looks beautiful.
Yeah. And they're gonna meet in the Tunnel of Love, you know.
Well, and then Carlton is, you know, ready to propose. And he's like, what if she has a change of heart when she finds out I'm fluid? And I was like, my guy, she might have a change of heart because you omitted a big part of who you are, which again is lying by omission. So it might not be because you're fluid. It might be because you kind of lie.
Yeah. And she can't trust you.
Yeah.
That's a really great point, too. It's like you are lying. And so you are not establishing a space of trust between the two of you.
I tell Lola all the time, the lie is worse than the thing.
Yeah.
It is always worse than the thing. And she has a right to say whether or not that's a deal breaker for her.
Yeah.
And it could be. And that is absolutely her right. Like, that doesn't make her homophobic. Everybody has a right to choose how they want to live their life. And you've taken that choice away from her.
And again, another reason why you should have told her before you got to this point.
Izzy, I'm sorry. Before we go on.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about like honesty and stuff, I feel like there is something I want to tell you.
Okay.
I feel bad being friends for all these years and not telling you, but like, I feel like I should.
Are you gay?
I am a cunt.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I'm a cunt.
I don't. Ellen.
I wanted to tell you for like a long time, but like it never seemed like the right time.
I don't know. Listen, I'm going to have to take some time to think about this.
No, please.
If you had told me in the beginning that you were a cunt, then I could have, like, you know,
planned for it. No, you're right.
It's not that I'm not cuntophobic. I just, now it's like, can I even trust? Like, what else are you hiding from me?
You're right. Oh, thanks for letting me get that off
my
chest.
You're welcome.
So Carlton and Diamond see each other and they like each other.
Well, except I don't know if you noticed this. After they kissed for the first time, she leaned all the way back.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't see
like
that.
She was about to do the limbo.
Oh, really? Like while he was kissing? So she was trying to...
Yeah,
like,
they sort
she
of
was
like...
planning an exit strategy?
Yeah, they were sort of like kissing and then you could see her body going back and then they stopped kissing and like she just keep it... Yeah.
Oh, because they're like, you're fly. No, you're fly. And you're fly. I guess they're relieved that, you know, they're not trolls. That living under a bridge. And they're a good looking couple, but I need to go back and see that kiss for sure.
She tells us that she's very attracted to him. But, you know, the body language from both of them, as far as I'm concerned, is a little bit. I mean, maybe it's because we just saw What's-His-Face and Lauren and they're like lying on top of each other vertically. But it was, you know. It was a little standoffish, I thought. But they think they're fly. That's nice.
I think we should bring the word fly back. So now we're back in the quarters and Rory is talking to Barnett about Jessica. And my number one question is, who the fuck is Rory?
Dude, Rory, he's like the mental health coach. Like the only time we see Rory is when he's sitting there going, bro, you got this. You're a catch. Just speak your truth.
Yes, he's a paid actor.
I have a 17 head. It's not a 4 head. It's not a 5 head. I've got a 17 head. And I'm going to give you some truth right now. I'm like, who, where, and why? But he tells Barnett that he's a catch. He's like everyone's hype man, you know?
He is for sure a paid actor. He is not in the experiment. He works for production. He's there to help people out. He's a therapist of sorts. That is the only time we see Rory is when he's like pumping people up, which everybody needs that.
Sure.
But I'm like, don't fucking gaslight me and make me think Rory is part of this experiment, Netflix.
He tells Rory that his talks with Amber are way more serious and that he and Jessica just tend to shoot the shit. And Rory's like, well, then why did you tell Jessica that she was your top choice last night? And Barnett is literally like, well, because she was there.
Yeah.
He's like, because she was the one who was there.
He's just a little wet, slightly moldy sponge. It's like, you're there. You should probably toss it, but maybe you can get a couple more washes out of it.
Oh,
I don't know.
God.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
So Barnett and Jessica, I literally have written Stacy every single time. She's ready for the proposal. She is ready. And he just told Rory that they don't talk about serious shit. And the first thing he says to her is, let's have fun.
Let's play truth or dare.
Dude.
And then Jessica's like, do you still feel the same way about me today as you did yesterday?
And he says, I don't know.
I don't know. And then my subtitles just said dramatic music. And she goes, wait, really? Like, for real?
Yeah, like at first she's like,
wait, you're really? Like, really? Really, for real? For really? Realsies? Like, real.
And then she turns fast. She is blindsided by this, which is weird because she knows that other women are talking to him. So I don't know why she's, I mean, I guess he has basically said he'd proposed to her if she was the last woman on earth. But right away, she's like, oh, I don't fuck with people like you. It's like the veil came off and she's like, oh, I see you. I see you.
Yeah, for the first time.
Yeah.
And I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, I have flight mode, like her fight or flight. She was like, I need to leave. And I get that when you're uncomfortable and you don't know what to say, like my instinct is to go, is to get away.
Me too.
And then she's like, I know a million guys like you. And she kind of like gaslights him a little bit because it's like, well, he hasn't proposed. I get that you think he's going to.
Right.
And she's like, I'm over this. You told me last night you were ready to propose. And then he says, well, I like you.
Yeah.
I like you.
It's yuck.
And she leaves in tears.
And he goes, bye, Jessica.
Yeah. And then Jessica goes back to the quarters and she is in full sabotage mode.
She tells Amber that Barnett is a fuckboy and she is getting in Amber. We see this with Jessica later on too. Like she has a little too much to drink. She gets a little too much in her cups and she will be the kind of person who is leaning into your face to tell you things. That is my least favorite type of person.
Yeah. Then she kind of like starts gaslighting Amber. She's like, maybe your relationship is different, but he's a total dick. I mean, I get it. I don't know what we're fighting over. Barnett looks like he cuts his hair with a pizza slicer. I get it. But like, she just starts trying to like play mind games with Amber. And it's 0 to 60.
Mm-hmm. Also, without the golden goblets there, we can see how much wine these kids are pouring for themselves. And they are drinking. And I know we know that they're drinking, but my feeling was like, how do you expect to make any decisions with that much fucking alcohol in your system?
Well, it ain't season 5. They have not panned on a single tray of bagels.
No.
Not a bagel in sight.
Not a bagel.
Nothing to soak up that red wine, babe.
No. Amber's not hearing it. Amber is not hearing it. I think that she is giving Barnett way too much benefit of the doubt.
So then Barnett is talking to Carlton on the other side and he's like, I feel like an asshole. He's basically like, I mean, I can't help it if these girls love me. I can't help it if I got 3 girls who want to hang on my ding-a-ling. I can't help it that everybody wants me. I don't know what to do. Just pan away. Pan away.
Yeah, please. Please stop giving this person any fuel because he's got enough.
Yeah.
So now we're going to go to Mark and Stacy.
No, Mark and Jessica.
Oh my God. It's listen, lean into it at this point because this is how it's going to be. All blonde women look the same to me.
Oh, we're going to get some letters. We're going to get some letters. I can't fucking wait. You've been blonde at a time, Daisy.
Oh, I've been all the colors of the rainbow.
We get it, Daisy. You're queer. Oh, my God. Please stop pushing your queer agenda down my throat.
Listen.
Hurry. We got to hurry this recording up. I got to go ban some fucking books. Let's go.
All right, listen. Suddenly now with Mark, Jessica's like, Mark is everything she's wanted and more. All of a sudden. And she feels like an asshole. And Mark's like, I know my worth. I'm not second fiddle. I know my worth, which is, you know, that's great. Also, his guitar is there. Thank God they didn't subject us to that.
Well, put a pin in that. Wait till a little bit later. And he basically was like, there's a saying that like my mom invented. My mom created this saying. Let me see if I remember it. Let me hearken back to the days when she created it. It was like, if you love something, let it go. And if it comes back to you, then it was made for you. Listen, Mark's mom, she is like Mahatma Gandhi. Like, yeah. You are deep, lady.
His mother is Confucius.
And Jessica kind of continues groveling. Mm-hmm. Like, she was just screaming at Amber, being like, do what you want. I don't know. You're not going to get what you want out of this. I mean, you really do learn a lot about people when they don't get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of like, well, I don't want to end up with no one. Ugh. So she's kind of like back on the Mark train.
I would rather end up with no one than just someone. You know what I mean?
Every time.
Yeah.
That is sort of why I'm single.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of why I'm single.
Yeah. Well, she also wants to be on TV. So then we go to Kenny, who is about to propose to Kelly, and they just met. We've just met them, and now they're proposing. She says yes. Very sweet.
I just wrote, I don't know these people.
I know.
That's all I wrote in my notes.
Yeah. I said Kenny, who we've literally just met, proposes to Kelly.
I don't know these people.
I'm not invested. Okay. Everyone on this show keeps telling each other that they are the perfect person.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone.
Yep.
You're the perfect person. Like, again, I have known Kurt for 14 years. We've been through a lot. I love him so much I can't express it. He's not the perfect person. Like, what?
It's so weird. Like, okay.
This couple feels like an afterthought. This couple feels like Netflix was like, shit, we need more content.
Which they did not think for season 5.
No.
Yeah, season 5, they're like, you know what? We're going to save money on the suites. We don't, the more the merrier. It's the less, the happier. Let's go. Less people.
So now we go to Giannini.
No, Giannina.
Giannina
and Damien.
And Damien. This, you know, these two in the pods are very, very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm going to qualify that with in the pods. Damien asks her, why don't you think you're beautiful?
Yeah.
And she talks about getting picked on in school and how she came over here from Venezuela and there's a different beauty standard. And he says that he got picked on too. He was tiny and small and weird and quirky, which, I mean, I feel seen.
Did anyone get through high school unscathed?
No.
Please?
No.
Slide into my DMs if you were not a constant bundle of anxiety, self-loathing. Who was the person that was like, actually, it was a fucking blast in high school. I felt great.
Well, there are those people who peak in high school. I feel like those are the ones who go to the reunions, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to go back to that place.
I actually loved my 10-year high school reunion. It was a fucking blast.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to troll you.
I did. I had the best time. I had a blast. I'm way hotter than I was in high school. A lot of the popular guys were balding and feeling the repercussions of their bad actions through their bad skin body type. And plus, I had sex with someone in an elevator. So
yes! Wow. You are my fucking hero. Wow.
What a fucking whore. It was hilarious.
Cunt and a whore.
We actually dated for a really long time.
Oh. He says you have to love yourself. It's very sweet. And then Kelly and Kenny are about to meet in the tunnel of love. So Kenny now says he's always known without a shadow of a doubt that it was Kelly. Without a shadow of a doubt.
I don't get that.
I know. They meet. They're attracted to each other. Great. Okay. Like... we'll see. Then we're with Damien and Giannini. She talks about how she self-sabotages all the time. Her parents' divorce really fucked her up. And then he says, I think in the confessional, that he's not sure if he loves her. He thinks that he can fall in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, he's not like 100% there. which we'll come back to because it becomes important later.
And then they have the most pointless conversation. He talks about being scared of being hurt. Nobody walks around on this earth thinking about what a blasty blast it would be to get hurt by someone.
No.
We're all scared little baby children
yes.
with big kid clothing and crow's feet. Like,
yes.
none of us have evolved past our childhood selves. Like, mm-hmm. sure, I don't want to get hurt. Mm-hmm. Great. And water is wet. Like, I don't know what to say.
Could you imagine somebody being like, I can't wait to get hurt. I'm so in it.
Yes, I am waiting. There's a line out there. Hold on, you guys. One second. I know you're all in line to hurt me. And now we're back on the Barnett merry-go-round and all the women he has wrapped around his stupid finger for some reason.
He's so drained. The poor guy is so drained.
Guys, honestly, I'm just going to come out and say it. He has a ukulele.
Yeah.
No.
I wrote, oh, Jesus, he has a ukulele.
No.
No.
Listen, they have to hand over their phones, their devices when they start this experiment. Hand over all stringed instruments. Mm-hmm. Nay, hand over all instruments. Somebody could sneak in there with a cheeky recorder. I'm not taking any chances. I don't know.
Or a fucking saxophone. Like, let's just.
No, I don't want it. And I blame Netflix.
100%.
Don't bring guitars. Don't bring ukulele instruments of any kind. Mm-hmm. And while we're making lists, leave your American flag hankies at home, too. Okay?
If I went into a pod and a guy was like, hey, I brought my guitar, I'd be like, bye.
Yeah, this is ending before it's begun. I'm putting my underwear back on and calling an Uber.
Yeah. He sings a song to Elsie. Elsie is my favorite initials. Wow. Who cares? And then... Barnett and Amber. Amber tells us that with her ex, who she was very in love with, she got unexpectedly pregnant, and his response was like, how do we fix this? How do we fix this? And it sounds like she was sort of pressured into an abortion that she didn't want to have. She's not proud of it. And her ex apparently was like, get over it. Why haven't you just gotten over it? Just get over it already. Like, he sounds like a fucking peach, that guy.
Yeah. I honestly really respect her for talking about this.
Yeah.
Not knowing whether or not it would air. And no matter what your belief is, obviously I am very, very pro-choice, but it should be a thing we talk about. I mean, women don't even feel comfortable talking about their miscarriages.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, good for you for talking about this honestly and mm-hmm. saying how it made you feel and how it affected you. I mean, I was just listening to the Britney Spears audiobook about when Justin Timberlake made her have an abortion. Wait, did you not know this? Justin Timberlake made her get an abortion when they were like 19 or 20 or something.
Oh my God.
You should listen to the audiobook. Michelle Williams does a really great job. It's honestly devastating.
I'm just thinking back onto like all of the virgin shaming they did to her.
Yep.
And that he was allowed to be like a sexy, you know, and they would ask him things like, have you seen it yet? And like, oh my God.
But I have to give it to her because she's honest, and I don't really think Amber is the type of gal I would be friends with, but I've got to give it to her for having that difficult conversation. Mm-hmm. And of course, everyone is entitled to their own opinion.
Yeah.
As long as you're not forcing your opinion on others.
Right.
But I just really respected her in that moment.
I also think that I don't know. Maybe not.
What?
I was going to say, I think it's important to disclose that, but no, it's not. You know what? Like, if she didn't want to tell him and she went through her whole... That's her thing. She doesn't need to tell him.
I agree. I don't think it's, like, on par with the Carlton thing.
No.
Because it's not her identity. It's something that happened. But I think she spoke very candidly, very openly.
Yeah.
She really was very vulnerable in that moment. And it is not something you should be ashamed of, but it is something that we are taught to be ashamed of.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, my respect for her went up in that moment.
Have you had an abortion?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, high five abortion sisters.
High five. I had an abortion with my ex-husband before we were married.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I had one with Kurt after Monty was born.
Oh, yes. You told me that. I did know that. Yeah. Everybody's lives are different. Your circumstances are different. It's everybody's choice. And we shouldn't be ashamed to talk about it. It's part of our life, part of where we are and who we are as people.
And it's healthcare.
Guess what? Random Rory is back.
Random Rory.
You cannot convince me that he's part of this experiment. He's just there to help everyone breathe through life.
Yeah, he's helping Damien calm down before Damien goes to propose to Gina. And now he loves her with all his heart, which is remarkable because we just heard him say he wasn't quite sure. But you know what? You never know when Cupid is going to land his arrow in your heart. He is worried that she pulls away when things get hard or real. In the pods, he asks her for her full name.
Okay, listen. Over the years, we have seen a lot of really awkward proposals. So full disclosure, I didn't remember how awkward this was. But take it away, because I'm going to get a poopy stomach out of embarrassment.
Well, first of all, I want to say that Giannina?
It's Giannina.
Okay, Giannina's.
I feel like Giannina is an Italian name, even though she's from Venezuela. So for my people, yes. I feel like you're being racist.
I am being racist, but also I want you to remember that I called Jessica Stacy this entire episode. So it's not my fault.
With the utmost sincerity.
Giannina's middle name is Milady. Milady. So he gets down on a knee and he says, I brought all these things from my life about who I am and what's important to me, and I put them in this box. Do you see this box? And she picks it up, and it's a small little like thing you get at like Michael's. And she opens it and it's empty. And he says, I put the bow on it, and then I took it off and I realized I can't put you in a box. So I put this bow, which is a bow tie, by the way, on my wrist because I am your gift.
This is why you need to rehearse things before you say it. It is moments like this that a dry run is essential.
What was Rory there for? Run through Rory. Come on.
Yeah, he was all worked up. He should have practiced it with Random Rory or a quick run through in the shower.
Yeah. This has been a gift. Yeah.
I want the opportunity to be a gift in your life, or I don't know what the answer is.
This is like, you know, like a hunk calendar, you know, and it's like a guy with like a present for December, a present bow around his like a bow tie.
This is what the kids say is cringe.
Unacceptable. She is pacing. She is chewing her lip. She is doing the female version of Izzy from season 5. She is nervous. And then she says, I want to tell you something. And that's where the episode ends.
Cliffhanger!
What do you think she wants to tell him, Ellen?
Do you remember?
I remember what she does, but I don't know how that relates to I want to tell you something.
Now I remember. I didn't remember at the time, but now I remember.
Anyway, I'm excited to see.
I am chomping at the bit. Listen, this roller coaster of emotions is something I didn't know that I needed in my life until it came back into my life. And I'm really so happy we're rediscovering it together.
I am too. You know what, Ellen? This is a gift. I am your gift.
I am your gift. You all are truly a gift. Thank you so much for joining us on Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. Please take a listen to all the other awesome podcasts on Grab Bag. Aww. I was just listening to Dear Daisy yesterday in the shower.
In the shower? That's sexy.
It's true. I love it. It's so good.
Mm.
Okay. You are such a lesbian for me. A lot of people actually ask how they can support us.
It's so nice.
Which is
so
such
sweet.
A lovely thing to ask.
Yeah.
First of all, just asking that is thank you. That's just the nicest thing. But you can also support us by listening to our other podcasts. You know what? You don't even have to listen. You can just download them. That helps.
It helps.
But if you don't already listen, I have a true crime TV recap show with Joey Taranto called I Think Not, and a true crime talk show with Rabia Chaudhry called Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case. And if you don't already listen, I would love you to. And you can also support me on social media at Ellen Marsh, and I spell my name with a Y. Take it away, Daisy.
You can find me on the Grab Bag Collab Network with Dear Daisy every other Friday. Every other Friday. Every other Sunday, I am now doing live Dear Daisy for the $15 and up tier. So you can't join, Ellen. I'm sorry.
I'm only at the $5 level, but I have been since day fucking one.
You know what? I might give you the link, to be honest. Every other Sunday at 11. We just did our first one last Sunday, and it was truly I loved it. It was so much fun. We're building a coven, apparently, is what we're doing. And then I've got Strange and Unexplained, which drops every Thursday on the Obsessed Network, wherever you listen to podcasts. Plus, you can join my Patreon for Strange and Unexplained with bonus episodes and lots of fun content. You can find me on social medias, Daisy Egan, E-A-G-A-N.
Yeah. Thank you for asking how you can support us. That actually really does mean a lot. We work really hard and we love what we do. And I love being here with you. I'm so glad we get to do this once a week.
Me too. When you finally said, because you were stringing me along there for a minute, when you finally said that we were going to go back and do the back catalog of Love is Blind, it was like Christmas morning.
You knew I was going to do it. All right. Thank you, everybody. Till next week.
See ya. Shut the fuck up.